Thinking a wedding planner isn't in your budget? Think again. Did you know that beyond this podcast, I offer virtual wedding planning coaching? This is something perfect for your needs and your budget. It's not a stale digital course. It's dynamic, it's live, and it's all about empowering you. Together, we'll keep your wedding planning vibe light, fun, and totally dialed in. I'll be your go-to wedding planner right in your pocket, real-time access, just a phone tap or Zoom away. You'll get all my tools. I will personalize them for you, and you're not going to have the hefty price tag of a traditional wedding planner. So save your cash, ditch the stress, and make your wedding planning a journey to remember. For more info, you can slide into my DMs on Instagram. You can go to the bigweddingplanningpodcast.com or just shoot me an email. I'm here for you. Let's make your wedding epic. Lovey, lovey show. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. That took exactly 20 seconds, that intro. And
did you time it?
Only because right when you started, I looked around and was like, shit, I don't have my water next to me. And then I looked at my nightstand and was like, oh, it's right there. But then you were like 5 seconds in and I was like, can I get there? Take my headphones off, come back. And then I thought, no, I can't do it. I didn't want to leave you hanging. But now that I see it was 20 seconds, I def could have grabbed it. So I'm going to be right back. You time me right now.
Okay, ready? Go. 1, 1,000, 2, 1,000, 3, 1,000, 4, 1,000, 5, 1,000, 6.
And I'm Christy Matthews.
I was 7 seconds, I would say.
Boom.
I did the whole, this is how, when I tell people to walk, you know, in the rehearsals, and I'll say, I don't care, you know, don't walk too slow, don't walk too fast, just think in your mind, 1, 1,000, 2, 1,000. That's the pace you wanna walk. So that's what I did just now.
Oh, yeah.
When you went to get your water bottle. Although I think I went too fast because I was like 1, 1,000, 2, 1,000, 3, 1. But anyway, I got to 7.
Okay, good. I definitely could have done it then. Now
so
I
you
know
could've.
I could maybe I could have gotten it all the way in like the next room and gotten back in time.
You could have gone and yelled at your kid.
I could have opened a bottle of wine, poured a glass, ran back upstairs. Okay.
Oh, God, good. Yes. Yes.
I can do so much in 20 seconds.
Hey, speaking of wine, I just got back from Napa because it was my 17-year wedding anniversary yesterday.
Ooh la la.
Yes, yes, yes. 17. 17! Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy. That's longer than most celebrity marriages, that's for sure.
It's like longer than the 7-year itch. It's the 17-year itch. We definitely went through a 17-year itch.
Did you stay out there or just go for the day?
We stayed at the Andaz, which I love and highly recommend for any Bay Area peeps. The Andaz is in Napa on First Street. And First Street is a really good place to stay in Napa because you can walk to so many like restaurants and bars, shopping. It's super close to the outlets. If you want to go there, you could drive there in less than 5 minutes. And Andaz is just really awesome. The rooms are lovely. I upgraded to a room that had a terrace, an outdoor terrace, and a bathtub in the bedroom. Okay.
Wow, that sounds romantic.
So it was romantic. It was very nice. It was fun. We had a good time.
Congratulations. Good for you.
Grassy ass. It was fun. It was nice. Very nice. And the smoke, man, it sucks still. It was so bad, Christy. Last week, we had no school on Friday because it was like off the charts.
Yeah,
like
it's the most 200s. Toxic air in the world right now.
Yeah, it was definitely on Friday. That's for sure. We checked what it is in Mexico City because as
we know Mexico City. We go there a lot, but it's very polluted, and we were higher. Yeah. Mexico City was like 170, and we were at like 220-something. But it's better today. It's going down, and we're supposed to get rain, I think, on Wednesday, like right before Thanksgiving. By the way, guys, happy Thanksgiving. And that would be, when you're listening to this, will be Wednesday, or at least that's when we release it. So hopefully it'll be raining in Northern California, everybody. And we'll be much better off, and those fires will be much, hopefully, done with, over.
Yes. So what are we talking about today?
We're talking about brunch.
Oh, brunch. Who doesn't love brunch?
I love a good brunch. Oh, I love brunch.
Yes, I do too. My brother and his boyfriend introduced me to the Endless Mimosa Boozy Brunch, I don't know, 5 years ago or something when I visited them in D.C., and that's what they were doing every Sunday with their friends. And I learned that I actually cannot handle an unlimited mimosa boozy brunch. I totally embarrassed myself.
Did you throw up?
I threw up all over a bathroom at a restaurant. I was in my 30s, you guys. This was not like I was young and dumb. I had children by then. They were not with me. And Lance had to like prop me up to like prop walk me back to Alex's apartment. You know, when you're just like, I'm fine. Just leave me alone. I'm fine. And then I think I threw up again and out. Yeah, it was just so bad. But we were sitting at this big table having this amazing food. And you did not have to get up to get another mimosa. In this case, it was actually poinsettias, which are cava or whatever with cranberry instead of orange juice. They were just pouring, and it was like cheap.
That's a lot of sugar.
Cheap
That's
champagne,
why.
And my glass was always full, so I had no idea how much I'd actually, and I'm sitting
like,
down.
This place is amazing.
I'm sitting down, I'm eating, I'm laughing. Like I only got up to, you know, go to the bathroom, and then by the third time I got up, it was like, oh no, something horrible has happened. I'm drunk in public. This is terrible. So it's like a running joke in my family that I don't do endless mimosa brunches anymore. But what I do love is just a regular old brunch and a brunch wedding.
Right off the bat, we're going to advise no endless or bottomless mimosas at the wedding. Okay, people?
Yeah.
Tip number one.
Have an open bar if you want. Just don't have servers just constantly be pouring more into people's glasses when they have not, you know, noticed that they didn't have, you know, obviously don't do what I did. Learn from my mistakes.
And don't invite Christy Matthews. Yeah. Clearly.
So we actually are doing this episode because we got a number of listener emails in the last year, I would say, that had to do with brunch questions. And we answered all of them. And a lot of it's just like, we're having a brunch wedding and we're not seeing as much about brunch weddings. We're not hearing as much about like how to change things up to make them work. Everyone's kind of in like no man's land with like, what? I don't know. Do we still dance? Do we have a DJ? Does anybody even drink whiskey before 2 p.m.? The answer is yes.
Absolutely.
So anyways, we got these little questions and we sort of collected them. And then something really cool happened. We patron, Jen, right? Is that what you're going to say?
Yes. She's amazing.
Yeah, so she was like in the high patronage category, which got a Skype call with us. And so we both with her. We met, you know, via Skype and we did this consultation. It was so fun, but it was all about brunch logistics. She was having a Sunday brunch wedding and she had some issues with her venue. And there was just like, there was a lot going on. And so then we said, please keep in touch with us and let us know how it's going. And she followed up throughout the process and asked a couple more questions, like 2 weeks before 3 weeks, maybe before the wedding, like kind of in a panic. And, I think we were helpful, or at least we affirmed what she was already doing, which is sometimes all you guys need. And then after the wedding, she emailed us some pictures. Thank you. And also a like incredibly thorough, well thought out.
So awesome.
This like notes, basically like a retrospective. How did she do it? And what she learned, pros and cons. So we have to do an episode about it because she practically wrote it for us.
Because she wanted to do that for all of you out there listening, too. And I just think it's fantastic and lovely. And she took so much time to write this out. And thank you, Jen. You're fucking cool, man. You're so awesome.
Yeah, I emailed her to let her know the episode's coming out because she might not listen anymore now that her wedding is over. But I think she'll listen to this one. So anyways, to start, let's just talk real quickly about brunch weddings in general. And that is who's having brunch weddings? I've done four, and I have one that I'm planning in March. And my cousin, I have a couple cousins who also did brunch weddings, and I helped them with stuff. But so who does them? Anybody does them, but sometimes people do them because their venue is only available, that they really want this venue, and it's booked on the Saturday, so they choose a Sunday. I've seen it happen that they don't want a huge, expensive reception, so they cut costs in places by having brunch instead.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest reasons, right? Economical, like, because a venue could theoretically have two events. If you're going to do a brunch, right, and they're going to give you a break and be like, shit, we're okay, we'll do two weddings, and we're going to let, you know, the brunch wedding, we're going to give them a much less expensive room rental. We're going to cut the costs. You know, it's going to be, but it's going to be a limited amount of hours usually.
Might you have to be done by
this time because we have another, you know, we have an event coming up and we have to have the space. But yes, it's economical. And if you are someone who doesn't like dancing or like the whole
or if it's shebang, a second wedding, just, if you're,
yeah, or it's just, yes,
if you're older and like don't want to do the whole like DJ party all night thing. So I've all those possibilities. Also, if you're probably not going to save, when we talk about cutting costs, food and drink, you can spend just as much on a brunch as any other reception, but the costs that you might not incur are lighting. If it's during the day, there's windows or sunlight, you don't need up lights or strung lighting, or it would be a waste of money to have those things. DJ, dance floor, elaborate. The brunch weddings I've done tend to be a little bit more like, I guess like garden style, like sort of classic, pretty, not anything over the top. Those are more for the evening weddings and maybe like a Friday wedding or a, you know, New Year's Eve wedding. We're just going to run the spectrum. A brunch wedding tends to be more, not laid back or not calm. I'm trying to think of the right word. Just like elegant in some ways because it's just, it's brunch. It's who loves brunch, you know? Yeah.
I mean, you think of brunch, you think of being sober. You're not putting on a little black dress.
Right.
You know, you're it's during the day. You're more awake. Yeah, you're a little more proper. And it's just not going to last as long as, it's not going to be a 6 or 7 hour block of time as an evening wedding will be.
Right. I don't know if this is a detailed in a lot of brunch weddings, but all of them that I've done have had smaller wedding parties, if not no wedding party. And that's great. That's great. And that's their choice. I don't know which comes first here, if they decided to have a brunch wedding and then decided on the wedding party, or if some details had been decided on and then we're going to have a brunch wedding. But if you're having a brunch wedding and you have 8 bridesmaids, and you're wanting to do hair and makeup, you're starting at like 4 in the morning. No. So it does, timing. Good. Most of the questions.
You are. You're going to get up really early if you have a brunch wedding. Really
Most
early.
Of the questions we get is about timing. How do you fit this in? At what point would you do a first dance if you're not going to have other dancing? Like timing throughout the day, that's where people, it's the devil is in the details with this. You decide you're at a brunch wedding. You love brunch food. You love Bloody Marys. Your venue is available. And then you get down to the nitty gritty parts of like, wait, what comes first? Do we have, you know, do we have an open bar? How do we get ready? How early is too early? You know, what time should it end? What do guests expect? So all of that is, those are the questions we're getting. There's a lot of just brunch logistic details.
Well, and just overall, like if you're not having dancing, like what do we do after the ceremony? How do we start things? And we do want toast, and maybe we do want to do a little cake cutting. But what are some other things we can do in addition? You know, aside from the normal first dance,
garter. And one thing that is across the board for parties, and that this includes whether you're having like a dinner party, anything I would say with more than, let's say, 30 people, something needs to happen every 30 minutes. That is a micro event. A toast counts, some sort of announcement, an entrance, bringing out the cake, something in your timeline.
Video montage.
Yeah, anything. It can be very laid back and like subdued. It doesn't have to be this like, you know, MC that comes in with a top hat and is like, and now, I mean, we have to move. Maybe it's moving to a different space, but every 30 minutes at a good party, something happens. And that's just a rule of thumb. And that is definitely the same with brunch, because you don't ever want your guests to be done doing whatever they were doing in that moment and just sitting there like, now what are we going to do? And kind of looking around, okay, you know, so that feeling when you're like,
yeah,
are they bored? Are they still hungry? Yeah. Is anybody going to go get seconds? Are they mad? Are they going to leave? So something needs to happen. And we'll talk about that and get into Jen's notes. But first, let's talk about the best part about a brunch wedding, in my opinion, and that's the food.
The food!
So I've seen them. I've seen sit down, serve like plated brunch. I've seen buffets. I've seen action stations. And I've even seen a heavy, like a cocktail reception with heavy hors d'oeuvres, but they were all brunch oriented, including donuts. So carving stations, like roast beef.
I like stations.
I like stations
too. I'm going to tell you my favorite brunch.
Go for it.
My favorite brunch is in Boston at the Four Seasons Hotel in Boston. Now, I've tried to do it at the Four Seasons in San Francisco. Lovely property. They don't do the brunch. They don't do it. The Four Seasons in Boston is right outside of the Boston Public Gardens. It's very old, historical. It's beautiful. And they have a Sunday brunch like you expect, right? It's like fancy. You get dressed up. And that was our thing for our family. If it was an anniversary, it was one of the kids' birthdays, it was during the holidays, we would go to our Four Seasons brunch. The kids loved it. And the reason it was so good is because there were all these stations. You know, you could get whatever omelet you wanted. There was prime rib. There was different starches. There was pastry stations. There was salmon.
Made to order omelets.
There was omelets. There were, you know, chocolate chip pancakes. Like that is the kind of brunch. You go to that brunch and you feel like, oh, I'm going to eat, and you're goddamn right, I'm spending a lot of money, but like, I'm going to get a lot of food out of it. And it's not going to be just any food I'm going to get at a diner. It's going to be really like, you've got the chicken and waffles. You've got
cocktail
just
shrimp.
Things that you just shrimp, yeah. Wontons. There was just all sorts
it's
of
breakfast. It's lunch. It's everything in between. What's it, not
it's
to
brunch.
Love?
It's what's not to love. You can eat anything.
And
brunch.
The sky is the limit with a wedding menu, because donuts are perfectly acceptable at any wedding, but they're especially
Absolutely.
Acceptable at a brunch wedding. And
they're expected. Yeah. Let's face it. You've got to have donuts at brunch.
Smoked salmon. There's all these cool ways to do like small bites, like mini quiches and frittatas and little tiny pastries and tarts. And you can have a
Petiphors.
Hot drink station, like hot toddies. Spike teas.
I love hot
toddies. A coffee
toddies.
Cart, Bloody Marys, mimosa. And don't just have mimosas. Have a mimosa bar. They're beautiful. A bunch of fresh juice.
Hot cocoa.
Yes. And
Bailey's.
You definitely need coffee, so why not make a thing out of it? with brunch weddings, I don't always think that beverages are necessary pre-ceremony, but I think a coffee station or coffee cart is an especially nice touch at a brunch wedding. If you're having the ceremony and reception at the same place, even if you're not, but a church might, you know, be like, come on.
Yeah, not at church. You don't have beverages at church.
Yeah, but coffee, because people are getting there a little bit early. Maybe they didn't have breakfast on the way. I mean, I want coffee when I arrive somewhere for a thing.
I can't wait for coffee tomorrow morning. I just love coffee.
Yes, we both love coffee. Anybody who owns a coffee company and wants to sponsor our podcast, give us a call. We'll take lots of pictures drinking the coffee.
Coffee.
Yes. So one of the things I wanted to mention, because this was at my last brunch wedding, and it was a issue that I wasn't expecting. We had an amazing catering team, and they did choose stations. They had three stations. One was a carving station. One had these amazing frittatas, like three different kinds. So they were already cooked. It wasn't an action station, but it was a separate station. And then the third one had Eggs Benedict. And on the other side, it had the chickens and waffles. So there was a chef at that one. And warm syrup. And it was all delicious. But it was 120 people. And there's three stations. And the stations were big enough. That wasn't the problem. The difference between that and what happens at the Four Seasons is at the Four Seasons, those stations are set up and everybody is eating at slightly different times in the whole dining room.
Yeah.
So when you get up to go to a station, you're not getting up with 30 people at the same time. There's like five or six people in the little line and you just want your waffle. So you wait in that line. Then you go sit down, eat your waffle, and then you get back up and go to the frittata station or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, you go back.
For a wedding, people feel like they have to like go through all the stations as if it was a long
buffet line. Okay.
And then everybody gets backed up at one station when the other two are there with, because we're not releasing all the guests at one time. We'd go up to like two tables, table one and table two, and they both would go straight to the farthest. It was as if like everybody was just following the leader.
Huh.
So I would have to go up to the line and be like, just so you know, that station over there has chicken and waffles. But then people felt like they were going to miss out on whatever line they were waiting in. So I thought we might as well have just put all these tables together and done a two-sided
buffet
instead of the stations. And the reason that we went with stations instead was largely aesthetic. My grooms, in this case, wanted the look of individual stations, not like a classic buffet. But in action, in reality, it was acting as if it was a buffet anyways, because everybody wanted the things at every station. So only when they went back for seconds, and a couple people did, but not everybody, did they go just to the table that they wanted the food from.
What do you think?
You know?
What do you think you... Because that's in one of those cases where it's like form over function, right? Like aesthetically, it looks good. If I'm going to the Four Seasons, I know I can take my time. I can go back.
Yeah, you're going to be there for 2 hours. You're going to eat on your own.
But you're a wedding guest and you're worried like the buffet is going to shut down.
Yes, so they, which is exactly right.
What do you think in retrospect we could have done to...
So I think it actually would have gone faster with a large buffet, two-sided. And then we could have dismissed three tables at once instead of just waiting and waiting for them to go to every station before. I mean, we tried, but with 120 people, it shouldn't have taken. I don't like it when the first table that goes is done before the last table even gets their food. For me, the goal of being a planner is that everybody at least overlaps the act of eating a little bit as guests, you know, so that it's not like table one and two, they're finished. And table 12 still hasn't even gotten up and gotten in line
yet. That happens at buffets, though. I mean, that does happen, right? Table 1 and table 20, there's so much
time. It does happen, but I think I would have given it a little bit more time in the timeline.
Yeah.
And we did. I mean, there was nothing. We let it go longer than I had allotted, but it didn't. We knew that.
What other events did they have? How much time did you allot for food?
I think it was 70 minutes.
Okay.
But because they didn't have a lot of going on after the actual food, the plan was always to kind of let it go as long as it needed to. And another thing that helped, and we did do, was to have pastries on the tables.
Oh, good.
In baskets. So And they also served food during their little cocktail half hour that they had. But yeah, having pastry, something to nibble on, made it less, like, none of the guests were, it's my thing as a wedding planner that I was like, why is everyone just going to that station?
Right, right, right.
Why aren't they going over here? None of the guests were complaining. I just thought, that was you, yeah. we did this for this reason, but it ended up kind of biting us in the butt a little bit because now we have people standing in what looks to me like a pretty long line all at that first station. Hmm. So anyways, that's just something to think about. Make sure that your room has enough room for every station to have a small line by it. And then I also suggest every station has plates themselves so that guests know they can go to any station at any time. They don't have to get their plate at that first one.
I think that's true. Yes. If you have plates at every station and not just at one spot, did you in that wedding have them at one spot?
No, they were at every, they were at every station, but they were different sizes because like the frittata was on just its own little small plate, but the, eggs Benedict and waffle chicken and waffle was on a bigger plate. Cause you got both those things. So, you know, and the good news is the reason that everybody was waiting was because the food was delicious. So,
they went to the most popular stations first. They went to the yummiest food first.
They went where the first people went. That was like the truth of it. Oh. They were like, guests can sometimes be, even though when I went up to the tables, I was like, just, and you guys can get food and just know you can get food at any station and come and go as you want. But they were like, no way, everybody's in that line. So we better get in that line. Anyways, so something to think about. It was, brunch food smells so good. I think it's because they have syrup on heaters, a lot of caterers. So it makes the room smell delicious. You got quiche, frittatas, omelets, smoked salmon, fresh fruit, vegetables, pastries, donuts, chicken and waffles, and people still drink beer and wine. I still think champagne toasts, champagne brunches, you know, those are classic. I did one brunch that did the champagne tower with the coupes.
Oh, cute.
The only other time I've seen that done at a wedding, it was a New Year's Eve wedding. So there's fun things to do that kind of elevate it from a brunch that you would just go to with your friends on a Sunday to an actual
wedding brunch.
Wedding, a fancy event. Yes. So anything else?
Well, are we going into...
We can jump into Jen's, yeah, because she has so much stuff.
What about micro? These ideas of micro events here, Christy?
Oh, and the order of them.
Yeah,
that was kind of what we were thinking about, like first dance, if you're going to dance with your parents. You know, I don't think it's awkward to do those dances, even though you're not having
open dancing. Yeah.
We get that question a lot.
Yeah.
I think, Jen talks about micro events a little bit. So let's jump in.
Yeah.
Okay. So 100 guests and the budget was a little over 30K total.
That's such a good budget for a brunch wedding, by the way, but it's not going to take you super far on a Saturday night wedding by any means.
Yeah, it kind of gave them the funds that they needed to dress things up for a brunch, and they did need to do some dressing up of the venue. Like she did full pipe and drape because the walls. Wow. Yeah, so it was more than if the venue. They would not have spent that much money if the venue had been ready in a. It wasn't ready the way that they were promised. So, okay, so their timeline was hair and makeup pretty early, starting at 6, 11 a.m. ceremony, and then the whole thing was over by 4 p.m., but she said most of the guests left around 3 p.m. or started leaving, which is that's happened at both of my most recent brunch weddings.
Okay.
As a vendor, I knew our end time was 3, and then we had to have it clean by 4, but still people were leaving at 2. So for us, normally, if it's a normal, quote, normal, typical evening wedding, there are a lot of people left at that last.
You're throwing them out.
Yeah, we're like getting them out and being like, sorry, I have to take this chair.
But that's because the events are different. You're drinking and dancing.
Yeah.
You're eating, you're drinking and dancing. With brunch, you're eating.
Yeah. And then
there is drinking, but they're not going to drink that heavily on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. So they chose to do a limited lunch instead of, she didn't even call it brunch in her invitations. They called it lunch just so that she felt like people would know what to expect. She said she was concerned that she had older family members who would be like confused, you know, brunch, like, is it going to be like a continental breakfast situation? So they did do like carb tri-tip salads, vegetables, bread, stuffed mushrooms, things like that. But their hors d'oeuvres were much more on the brunchy side of things.
Because they were earlier.
Yes.
If the ceremony was at 11, they were done by 11:30. So they started cocktail or whatever you want to call it at 11:30.
Yeah, right
so
away.
It's almost
they did
lunchtime.
Those pictures. Yeah. And they did a wine, beer, mimosas, and Bloody Mary bar with a lot of garnishes. And she said that people drank more than she thought they would. Which she was
surprised
by.
People love Bloody Mary bars. I love a good Bloody Mary.
I do too. I love Bloody Marys.
Oh.
And they're perfect at a wedding like this. Yeah, we're like ready to go
I
pour
want a brunch
ourselves
wedding.
One. She said the Bloody Marys were far more popular than the mimosas. And she had assumed the opposite.
You're getting vegetables there. You're getting vegetables with your Bloody Mary. Okay.
And between the beer and wine, more wine was consumed than beer. I would also go so far as to say I would assume that more white wine will be consumed.
Daytime, yeah.
So for decor, they did spend money on decor, but she said that flowers were the biggest expense and that was they did a lot of DIY stuff, but still you have to buy the flowers. That was something that she was really glad that they did because it did make the room feel so beautiful. And I think that's heavy flowers is something I see more during daytime brunch weddings than evening weddings, partially because candles don't have any impact really.
Nope.
So she goes into how she did some DIY stuff, but that they spent money and time and she was happy with that. So here were some of the challenges. This is a part I thought was really interesting. First, making sure there was enough time for the pre-wedding activities. So pre-ceremony, getting ready, the photos, getting to the church, all of that. They had to be totally ready by 9 a.m. That's going to affect your rehearsal. Think about the night before. If you're expecting groomsmen and people in your wedding party and your parents to all be photo ready by 9 a.m., you're not going to stay out until midnight the night before.
No.
So she also mentioned that the rehearsal was skewed earlier, even though it was on a Saturday night, because they knew how early they were getting up on Sunday morning. And then keeping guests entertained and hoping that people were going to stay for the full duration of the reception was something she was concerned about and found that it was a challenge. She said a lot of her friends stayed until 4, which is when it was officially over, but that most of the family started leaving at 3. And that's a bummer because they had bought an extra hour of event time. But, you know, it's a crapshoot. You just don't know how long people are going to want to stay when it's a Sunday. People might have to work the next day. In this case, it's a Sunday brunch. Not all brunch weddings are, of course. So anyways, that was a misstep or something that she wishes they had done differently. The menu and the alcohol, she said, was a challenge because she fretted over making, quote, appropriate options given the time of day. But she knows she probably would have double guessed herself just as much with dinner. See, I think brunch is the food is the fun part, but I can see how somebody would, there are so many options. It's not any easier to do food and drink for a brunch than for dinner. You can all the options are still open to you.
Yeah. And you can have anything at brunch.
Yeah.
You really
can.
You can
do a full like, yeah, I guess, yeah, you can. There's some version of brunch in every culture, right?
Yeah.
Or some version of like breakfast time, lunchtime food.
It's an in-between time. Anything goes.
Yeah.
It's like Brinner. Have you had Brinner? Do you give your kids Brinner?
They ask for it. Sometimes I throw
Brinner.
A piece of string cheese at them, but okay. So then she said that she struggled with, or she found it to be a challenge, the perception that it was a, quote, cheap wedding. She felt like her parents and maybe a couple other family members had sort of low expectations because it was a brunch wedding. And
really?
They kept making suggestions for how to spend a little bit more money, which
oh
is a
my
problem
gosh, how
a lot of people would, you know, want to have. But she basically said, we didn't want to spend over $40,000 on a wedding. It didn't matter if our parents were going to pay for it. We didn't want that. And we didn't want to wait 2 years for a Saturday night at a prime location or choose a venue that was all inclusive. Okay. Then she said another challenge was the apparel for herself and her wedding party, her bridal party. She had trouble finding a dress because she didn't want something that was too casual. And she also didn't want something that was too formal. She found a second dress after she found her first one. So she did that, like she bought it and then she didn't end up wearing it. And she also hemmed and hawed over her bridesmaids' dresses. I think going back and forth between like what, you know, a full length dress, maybe this worked great for her. They had full length, chiffon dresses on the bridesmaids, and that would depend on how the rest of the wedding looks and how they fit in with the aesthetic overall design. But I would have said that full length is a bit much for
me too.
Unless it's there, those like really flowy, almost like sundressy kind of maxi dress style.
It also depends on the venue.
Right. Totally does. And there's, you know, because she pipe and draped it all, it was very like white draping.
Elegant.
And there's pink flowers and the guys wore gray suits, which I think works great for the daytime. I've seen weddings where they had vests on and they took the jackets off like right after the ceremony. And if things are outside, you may not even need a jacket at all. But I can see how choosing a dress and shoes might be a little bit tricky for a brunch wedding.
So she ended up wearing
the second
length.
Dress she bought, I think, yeah.
Oh, she changed.
Yes. Okay. Not changed during the party. She just found a second dress after
from
she already
ceremony
bought one.
To reception.
No, I think she stayed in the same dress. It just wasn't the first dress she bought.
Oh, she bought a dress originally and then... Like,
yeah,
it was like
a big ball gown. And then the second... And she ended up thinking, like, that's not what I wanted after all.
So what
and
did
the
she
second
wear?
Was more of a sheath. It was a custom-made sheath that she found all off the rack. Sheath is, like, much more, like, straight down on her body. Simple.
Okay.
Nothing, like... Nothing flowy or...
Okay.
Yeah. And then she said the pros of a brunch. So she did pros and cons. The pros are they save money on the food and the venue. Because it was daytime, I felt like we got away with having a simpler menu, which means just one entree. Our families enjoyed their beverages. So we went slightly over the typical alcohol estimates, but we could have saved more by returning what wasn't open. Because they got it from BevMo, who delivers and you can return.
Yep.
Anyways, they saved about $3,000 off of just the venue alone from doing it from a Saturday night to a Sunday morning. So what you were talking about at the beginning of this episode, like that adds up. And she said, she enjoyed one of the pros was that the creativity. So she said, I really enjoy evening weddings when there's a fancy dinner, starry skies, and a lot of dancing. But having a brunch wedding forced us to reimagine many aspects of our wedding, especially decor and music. The vibe I wanted was hip, relaxed, light, and airy. A, quote, garden party was the closest thing I could think of because of the daytime and all the flowers.
Yeah.
I like what we came up with. And the DJ did a great job with music. He understood our eclectic but chill taste and picked songs appropriate for the setting. And another perk of a Sunday wedding is that we got our first pick of every vendor. We had a 10-month time frame and nobody was booked on the Sunday that we were asking. And a lot of them were booked on the Saturday.
So many pluses to having a Sunday daytime wedding.
Yes. Yeah, so she said one of the some cons are early rise and less buffer time.
Mm.
She got up at 5:40 a.m. for hair and makeup, who arrived at 6 a.m. But we're morning people. If we weren't, it would have been a lot tougher. Yeah, don't have a brunch wedding if you hate getting up early. That just sets a bad tone right there first thing in the morning. She said some people were dismissive that we were having a brunch or non-Saturday wedding, and those people could have bummed me out if I had let them.
Interesting. Yeah.
She said
this is the second. Yeah. I and her family was a little concerned about it. So she was
It's not traditional. She got some pushback for sure. They kind of had to like stand by their choice and defend it a little bit.
That's great.
And I imagine that she felt some pressure then to like, prove.
Produce something. Yeah. Like, okay. Now we really got to, step up our game.
Yeah. They had no, and then another con is that there's no big dance party, but we did have a decent amount of dancing after those main micro events were done.
Well, they had a DJ.
They did have a DJ. Yeah. But it didn't last long mostly because we were mingling. I will say that every brunch wedding that I've done and the one I'm doing coming up has had live music of some sort. And we should have mentioned that early on, 'cause I think that's a really, nice, good element that you should consider if you're having a brunch wedding, because especially if you're not having a DJ, having a harpist or a violinist or a quartet
or trio. Yeah.
Yeah. A Spanish guitarist. I mean,
sort of performance is fantastic.
Yes. One of my cousins had a pianist, and she sang, and it was more like a show than a wedding band singing when we're all dancing.
Pianist?
Pianist, yes.
Are you saying pianist? Like a person who plays piano?
Yeah.
Is it really pianist?
I think so.
Is it like how people, like I say the planet is Uranus, but they don't want to think about anus, so they say Uranus?
Uranus is wrong. Uranus is wrong.
It's Uranus.
But I'm saying pianist.
And I laugh every time I read Uranus. What?
We'll have to look that up. You tell us.
Pianist.
Yeah, a pianist.
A pianist. Okay, I don't know. Pianist. Somebody let us know.
No, it's pianist.
I think I'm right. It just sounds like pee and penis.
I know what it sounds like, okay, you five-year-old. But... Wow. And we've been derailed. Anyways, having a pianist that sings or plays an instrument through the whole brunch is really lovely. Indoors or out, it's a great touch, and it sort of is the parallel to a DJ, so it, takes the place of a little bit of that. I don't know if, Jen, it doesn't sound like they had live music because they had the DJ. Anyways, what we loved, the daylight and the fresh air. The venue had two big roll-up doors.
Nice.
So that's something to consider. Windows and lighting is going to be very different for a venue that has options for daytime or nighttime events. So if you've only seen pictures of this venue looking all decked out with awesome chandeliers and cool lit up windows, if you've only seen those pictures for nighttime weddings, ask to see some of daytime weddings so that you can see what that room looks like when it's bright and sunny, and the carpet might look kind of dingy and the tables are kind of boring.
Yeah.
Because you cannot dress them up as easily. I mean, Jen had to pipe and drape a lot just to cover up what ended up being kind of ugly walls because there was no other way around it. If it had been at night, you could have thrown some uplights on it and averted attention,
Yeah, that's such a good point. Because a room completely changes at night.
Yeah. Completely. And so does energy. If the energy of the room, and it's kind of based on sunlight anyway. So
if it's painted like peach.
Yeah.
Or mint green,
if the sun, how some restaurants have blinds that they, if the sun might come in.
Pull up because it's an oven.
Yes. Just like is like bright on half the people's faces, too bright. So think about that. And if you're having an outdoor wedding, think about where the sun will be at 11 a.m.
This is a huge, huge, yes, such a good point. Because even at the wedding I did at Fort Mason, it was a time that the sun was going down. It was a warm day. The entire wall was windows and the sun was beating in. We had to pull down the screens, but there was issues with regard to photography and the lighting and the shadows. And then later when people were sitting at the tables, some people were like roasting in the sun and some weren't even affected by it. And we were, you know, like, yeah. Should we pull down the shades? Should we put up the shades? And somebody asked us to pull down the shades and others were like, don't pull down the shades because we want to see the sunset or we want to see the bay.
Right.
View. Lighting. Yeah. Because that's hard for photography. When there's really bright light, that's actually really challenging for your photographer.
Yeah. So keeping all that in mind, when you tour the venue, try to tour the venue at the time that you will have people in the venue or out on the lawn.
Really good tip. Yes.
Okay. So she said that they had a lot of fun with the bar. Having brunch cocktails in general was fun. The caterer made their own Bloody Mary and it was super popular. I think Bloody Mary bars look cool because there's all those things in jars that you can, you can put like a little pickle in yours and you can put a little pianist in yours and some salt and whatever, Tabasco.
Some olives.
If you're going to have a brunch wedding, have fun with like some experimental, like go out to brunch a lot. In the planning process, right?
Yes.
And be like, we love that.
Research.
Do your brunch research. That should be part of the fun there.
I love it.
Then she said something I thought was interesting. She said that one thing she loved was the good energy. We, as the people getting married, were way less exhausted than we thought we would be. Mm. My fiance, or my husband now, thinks that we would have been dragging by 9 p.m. if we had had, and just know who you are. Again, if you're not a morning person, don't plan a brunch wedding. But if you get up and like run 5 miles in the morning and you've done more by 10 a.m. than most of us do all day, like maybe brunch weddings,
you're going to look like shit at 9:30 at night on your wedding.
Yeah. Make sure that it fits you. You are what's important on this. And that's where all of our advice always comes back to. Basically do what's best for you two and what's going to give you the best chance of having a great day. Okay, so her guest comments, she said that people appreciated the short ceremony, which is probably true no matter when they had it.
Yeah.
And just that it was well executed as an event, that people appreciated that. Again, that's true of any wedding. And the wedding party said that they appreciated having everything for the whole weekend pretty much within walking distance. So that goes to like guest accommodations, who's driving, are there Ubers out there? Is everyone staying pretty close? Thinking about all of that before you have, don't have a brunch wedding if it takes people an hour to drive to the venue from the closest town. Things like that can get, that's just a lot to do in the morning.
Yeah. I think it's also nice for people who are traveling from out of town if you're having a Sunday wedding, because A, you're going to tell them way in advance if they need to take Monday off of work, they'll take Monday off of work. That gives them an opportunity to really spend some good amount of time in the city they're traveling to. And if your ceremony is not till 11 a.m., they can go out Saturday night. They don't have to get crazy, but they can stay out pretty late, sleep in a little bit, get ready and show up at 11 and then even fly out Sunday night if they need to.
The flip side of that being if they do have to work on Monday, they can.
Or, they fly out Monday morning, they take the day off. They've got plenty of time in advance to know and take the day off. If they're coming to San Francisco, it's nice to spend a Saturday night in the city, and spend Saturday day and Saturday night and get there Friday or, arrive Saturday morning. You don't have to take off work on Friday. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. We are pro wedding weekend, whether your wedding is a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, even if it's a Wednesday. What we're pro is having like 2 to 3 days to make this an event. And you do not have to host something all of those days. It can be as, impromptu as just being like, we're going to the bar on the corner. Or anybody that wants to join us should. But
we'll
you
be
have
there at
9
o'clock or 8 o'clock.
Or if you're staying in hotels or it's a destination wedding, then you just hang out in the lobby and you get to spend time with guests, like grabbing coffee or just running into somebody in an elevator. It makes it an experience for everyone. Like, I love going to those types of weddings as a guest, and I love helping to plan those types of weddings because I think the couple getting married feels less stressed about getting FaceTime in with every single guest during the actual reception. Because there's maybe they saw them earlier that day, or they're going to see them at breakfast the next day, or, you know, spreading it out a little bit. Of course, we're fans of that. We want this to be an awesome experience. So why not have an awesome 2 to 3 day experience? So that, in a nutshell, is brunch.
Hey, Jen, thank you so, so much for that really detailed follow-up and all of your questions in between. Congratulations to you. It sounds like it was a lovely, lovely, lovely wedding and that you guys had a really good time and that your guests did as well. So job well done. I give you an A+, Jen.
To the next 17 years.
Yes, may you spend your 17th wedding anniversary as if it was your first wedding anniversary, because that is important.
Very
get
good.
Get a hotel room with a bathtub.
In the room.
In the middle of the room. I'm exhausted. I gotta go to bed.
Okay. Let's do the huge. You guys.
The huge.
Email us if you have questions, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook and we're on Twitter and we're on Instagram, and we're loving that you guys are using the hashtag plan that wedding. We are
loving it.
Every post we do has that hashtag. So you can search that way and we search. And if you want to post pictures of wedding planning stuff or cake tastings or venue visits and tag us there, we would love to know that you're listening to us before, after, and during any of those events. If you want
to, we'd love to know if you found any amazing wedding professionals out there that you're excited about that we should know about.
Yes, good idea. And that we should be following maybe on all the social media. If you love what you hear and you think that we deserve $2 to $13 of your hard-earned cash per month, we would love it if you became patrons. And last but not least, this isn't last because we also have a phone number. But if you want to have Michelle or I all to yourself for 2 hours or more as a consultation, we answer all of your questions and give you the pep talk you so desperately need, email us and we can set up a Skype video call, FaceTime. We can communicate in Morse code, whatever makes you happy. We are there for you. And we love doing that. So let us know.
Hourly
if you
consulting
want,
people if you from want anywhere in the world.
Okay. And the phone number, do you have it?
415-723-1625. Give us a call. Leave a voicemail with your question. If it cuts you off and you're long-winded, that's fine. We don't mind it. Call back. Make message 2 of 2 or 3 of 3. I will edit it for you. 415-723-1625. Give us a call.
Yes. And next week is a Yawa. We have some great questions we're looking forward to answering for you. So keep them coming.
And don't forget, we're going to Nashville, the Modern Love event, Sunday, December 2nd. Be there or be square. That's so cool.
It's going to be awesome. The countdown.
All right. Happy planning, Christy. Love you, show.
Bye.
Bye.